and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler at 920 Commercial. Pete Euler providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years.
Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right, good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Pete Euler is your go-to agent in Emporia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. Call 342-6272 for your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
KVUE News time is 8:28. Newsmaker 2 time here today. We're pleased to have with us on the KVUE Sutherland studio line, I guess you could call it the newsroom edition, here with 51st District Representative Ron Hyland of Wamego. Ron, good morning and a happy Wednesday to you today.
Well, thank you and good morning to you.
How are things going here for you in between the regular and veto sessions here the last few weeks?
I've been very busy with forums, and then we had a big news conference over in Manhattan. In my district, they're putting in that new big company.
So what? Obviously, this is going to be really, you know, we were going to talk about redistricting a little bit later on in the interview, but, you know, this kind of sets the stage here for this area being part of your district here next year, as opposed to, you know, the southern half with Northern Lyon County coming off the table here for you. What does this mean for you personally as far as maybe travel and then representation side of things here as your district shifts boundaries?
Well, what happened was this: where they're putting this company, I already had that part of my district. But what happened was in Manhattan at the university, they started counting students for the count for the census, and one of the representatives there ended up with 8,000 over on their numbers that are allowed. So they have moved me into the Manhattan area, which meant they had to carve out other areas. So I lost Northern Lyon County, and I lost Shawnee County, the portion I had there. So I'm down to three counties now: Riley, Wabunsee, and part of Pottawatomie. So that's the big change. But and I hate losing that area, especially. And then, you know, with the redistricting, they took Lyon and Wabunsee County and put us in the second district, which is kind of foreign territory for us. So it'll be an adjustment.
Very true. Give us your sense overall on how the regular session went from your perspective. We had a chance to talk with Senator Jeff Longbine here earlier this week. 60th District Representative Mark Schreiber from Emporia a couple of weeks back got their perspectives. Has this been a fruitful session given the fact that it has been a redistricting year and also an election year?
Well, it has been fruitful. A lot of good things happened, but from my perspective, it went way too quick. We tried to do too many things too quickly, and when you do that, you invariably make some mistakes. So next year, there will be some trailer bills, as we call them, to straighten up some things. But I don't, you know, it's a fast-paced environment to begin with, but when they decide they want to finish up early, it really puts the pressure on committees to try to get things done, and some bills don't get the adequate hearings in both chambers like they should. So from that perspective, I thought it was productive, but at the same time, too many things going on, and we didn't spend the amount of time that I would like on bills to really understand them and read them and discuss them.
Understood. Where do you see the biggest successes here for the regular session anyways?
Well, I would say the redistricting, unlike 10 years ago, we came to consensus on it and had overwhelming votes both in the House and the Senate. And I'm talking about just the House and the Senate redistricting, not the congressional. Went really well. And the budget, because we have all these extra funds all of a sudden, it was an easy process, and we're paying down some debt. So from that perspective, I think those two things went very well.
Where do you see the things moving forward maybe a little faster than they should have?
Well, you're talking about Fed and State and Tax Committee primarily is where a lot of the things were pushed through more rapidly than I like. I'm on the Tax Committee. So we spent, quickly went through a lot of bills, and many of them are what I call rats and cats. where people were coming in asking for tax exemptions and those kind of things. So those work fairly easy. But then when we get into the really difficult ones on the taxes, that's where I wish we would have spent a little more time. And we've been working on the Kansas food tax bill, and that will come up again next week, obviously.
Yep. Before we talk about that a little bit, given you know the your concerns about you know tax policy and certain aspects of the overall budget here, do you think that the budget as it's currently standing here is a solid budget, a good budget, or are there a lot more holes than others may see at first glance?
No, I think it's a good budget. What I'm looking at is we've included everything to include a food sales tax reduction and everything in the budget I am looking at right now. The only fly in the ointment will be the consensus revenue estimate, which will come out later today. And that's when this group from the three universities get together along with other officials, and they predict the funding moving forward, what they expect to be coming in from taxes and so forth for 2023 and 2024. So it's kind of a guessing game, but they've been pretty good at it. And so we'll have, if they come out the way I think they will, we'll have more money. And so when we come back, we'll be looking at some debt reduction, which is a very good thing. We spend a lot of money this year. The $1 billion for the Apex, $1.2 there, and then another $1 billion that we're spending for CAPERS paying down debt. And those are good things. We have the money. Let's do it. Let's buy down some debt and save some money in the future.
Speaking of the debt side of things, you know, there had been and CAPERS specifically on pensions here, there had been some movement in past sessions. Some of that got derailed or at least set aside here as the sessions went over the last 5 to 6 years. Are things now in pretty good tracks here for both CAPERS and getting that funded where it needs to be and getting the debt numbers where they need to be here for government to run smoothly?
Well, it's better. Let's put it that way. We still have a long way to go, obviously. But and talking about CAPERS specifically, with this $1 billion pay down, what that does is that brings us up over 80% funded. Now, the federal government considers any pension fund that is over 80% funded is considered solid. And at that point, the interest rate you're charged when you try to do bonding will be at the low level. So that is a very good thing if we have to borrow. I'm hoping we don't have to borrow in the future. But and then we have money that we're putting into the Budget Stabilization Fund, and that's, we commonly call that the Rainy Day Fund. Currently, we are putting in $500 million. So that, for the next 2 years, there'll be $500 million there as a backup in case things go south in a hurry. And as we see the climate, economic climate in our country right now, I have a feeling we're headed for a pretty good recession. So I'm glad we have the money, and we're putting it aside so that we can avoid a real catastrophe down the road.
Ron Hyland, 51st District State Representative from Wamego, joining us here as our Newsmakers 2 segment continues now, 8:35 on KVUE here this morning. Ron, let's jump. I want to come back to the budget here, but you've mentioned about the food sales tax discussion, which did take place in several different time periods during the regular session, and it looks like even more than the budget as a whole, the omnibus budget, it looks like this is going to be the main talking point starting next week for veto.
I'm sure it is. We will probably, the tax committee will probably meet because they are an exempt committee, and we will meet and we'll discuss not only that, but also some housing tax structures that were discussed throughout the session. But the food sales tax, there's two ways to go. One is the governor's approach, and that's an all at once. Just take it all off. Now, this, everybody needs to understand, that's only for the state portion of it. So if the county and the city have food sales tax, they have their sales tax structure, that does not, is not affected. So that will still remain unless they change it. But now, the other one, the one that we discussed at great length in the tax committee, was one where it will go down in a stepwise fashion. It'll go down to 4% this year, next year down to the next step, and then the third year it'll go to zero. So that's the one that many of us favor, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We have to protect our state, but it will be an argument. It will be a fight as to which one is eventually passed out of the legislature, which it will happen before we're done. I assure you that.
I wanted to ask you here on the food sales tax, kind of a two-part question from flipping the coin, one of which is, you know, Kansas is one of just a few states now that has a food sales tax in place. So, you know, question A is why this is, you know, why now is the time for even considering this? But B, how can the state offset that roughly $500 million impact if this is a full-blown, the way it sounds, elimination of the sales tax, regardless of whether it's now or in 3 or 4 years?
Well, it's a juggling act. When you reduce your revenue in one area, you have to talk about where you're going to either increase or cut back in the government so that you can cover that. Right now, the funds are available because of all the money that the federal government threw down upon us. And it relieved other areas, so we did not have to spend as much money. But we have to understand that's going away. The consensus revenue estimate that I mentioned earlier, that's the key moving forward. If they come in this evening when they send that out to all of us, and it shows that there will be a reduction in income or revenue coming into the state, then we will have to take a long, hard look at that $500 million that we'll lose.
And I would assume then, if that's the case, then that would put a lot more emphasis on a stair-step approach for eliminating that or reducing it, as opposed to maybe outright elimination.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm hopefully the revenue estimate will come in and it'll be bright and rosy. But I've been around long enough that you never know. So let's wait till we see the numbers.
Understood. Before we leave that particular topic behind, Mr. Hyland, have you figured out a definition for food yet, or what is your definition of food with this particular topic? Because it seems like that has been, as much as anything, the hardest thing to pin down, and exactly what's going to be categorized as food for the sales tax effort.
Well, exactly. We had a lot of conversation with the tax committee about that. Amendments came to where they wanted to include all food, prepared food included, so restaurants everywhere, none of that would be taxed. But that did not pass the committee. So we've narrowed that down to just food that is not prepared. So anything you buy that you have to make food or, you know, prepare your meals from would be considered food. And candy and all of that will not be included in it. But we're not done yet, so I could be outvoted on that one. But I'm pretty sure the restaurant part of it will not be included. That just was a bridge too far, and that raised it up around $700 million, so we couldn't do that.
Understood. Ron, let's shift back here to the overall budget, because with some of the components we've already mentioned here about, you know, debt, capers, you know, this obviously with the sales tax is still pending. But talk a little bit about some of the other aspects of the budget and give us your thoughts on higher education spending, education K-12, and specifically two other topics that come to mind, corrections and mental health, and how those particular components of the budget got fleshed out here.
Well, the as far as corrections and some of those other jobs, we put in a raise for employees of the state that were not included in the last round of raises. You know, those that got a 5% last year, we wanted to take care of all the rest of them, especially the corrections folks. And so we put in a raise situation for them. Other areas of the budget that were of concern included you're talking about higher ed, we put more money in there. We put the K-12, we really can't do much there. The Kansas Supreme Court has essentially told us hands off, and so we have to do what is presented before us. So they're untouched, obviously. Higher ed, they're just tickled pink, and in the Commerce Committee, we put in a bill to help with the community colleges and the technical schools, and that is a big boon. I ran into the Manhattan Tech president on Monday at that big event, and he was more than thankful. He said, "You've really helped us," and so we're pleased about that. And you know, with the work workers that are being requested by all the businesses, we have to get a lot of these people in the pipeline. So this will help that quite a bit.
Ron, before we let you go, a couple of things one that you've been vitally involved with, and especially here this legislative session, you've willingly given us some updates on, and that's water policy. How is that looking forward as we get to the veto session?
Well, I had a 279-page bill ready to go, and it was gutted.
Oh, man.
And so it was destroyed at the committee level, quite frankly, and the ag community hated it. But they are now starting to come to the table. The public opinion and pressure is coming down on everybody in our state. We know we have a problem. I'm going to call it serious. I don't want to call it critical at this point, but both ends of the state, we have a problem. And because the dams, we are being charged storage fees by the federal government, and that was part of the debt that I've asked to be, let's cut down on that debt somewhat to save some money. And so I think in the omnibus we'll have a debt buy down for that storage fees that we have to pay the federal government. I think I'm going to have an interim committee this summer where we'll spend some time and we'll go into this in even a little more depth, and we'll look at some of the laws around some special groups. And by the end of that, we will have a bill that the ag people should be, if not supportive, at least be neutral on, and then we'll have that ready to go to be submitted into the legislature next year.
Anything specific here, Ron, that would be changed with this that you see? I know that one of the things that you've been looking at is just the number of different agencies and organizations federally and statewide that are connected here to water and have at least some say on policy.
Well, that's the big part. We designed, as a committee of the group of us, along with the agencies, the governor's staff was very helpful. We redesigned and reorganized all of that, and that will be the centerpiece. And then from there, because of that, then we will have a person that's seated at the table when it comes to funding, and they've been left out throughout all the years. And then the third piece is looking at how we're going to deal with the federal government on the dam. And then we have to look at the groundwater management districts that were created in the 70s and figure out some conservation programs. So those are the big things that will be dealt with. Conservation will be key, both ends of the state, till we get this all figured out and stabilized, and then we move forward after that.
Okay, and last question here, too, is I know we've asked you this a couple of times here earlier this session. What's your plan here for the election cycle? You've been, I think, at least strongly considering and weighing your factors and your options here. Have you made up your mind as to whether you're possibly going to run for re-election?
Well, my wife and I have had these long discussions and looking at the future and what's going on in our family. So at this point, we have made a decision. I will make an announcement on Monday on the House floor.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, we really appreciate your time with us as always, Ron, and best of luck here with the veto session starting up next week, and you know, whatever comes down your way here for your political career too as well. We really appreciate your time here today.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it, and I've always enjoyed these conversations.
Likewise. Ron, thanks again. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Ron Hyland joining us, 51st District Representative from Wamego, giving his perspective on the legislative session. And tomorrow morning at 8:20, we'll be chatting with 76th District Representative Eric Smith of Burlington. Same topic, talking about the regular session, talking about kind of the in-between time and what's coming up for the veto session beginning next week.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler at 920 Commercial. Pete Euler providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete at 342-6272 for a quote today. State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler. Good morning. It's 8:46.
Saturday, April 23rd, the Emporia Granada Theater welcomes Kansas.